Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. The title of my lesson today is Enslavement. Enslavement. And if you look it up in the thesaurus, you'll find such words as slavery, bondage, addiction. We have many people in our society today that are addicted to something. And I don't mean chocolate chip cookies. Warren Wiersbe writes, materialism will enslave the heart, the mind, and the will. Rather than be enslaved by the material things of this world, we ought to be liberated and controlled by the Spirit of God. Here in Matthew chapter 6, and we'll begin reading at verse 19, the Lord is speaking. And I would like you in your mind's eye to think about what this must have looked like. He is going to give what is called the Sermon on the Mount, and we find it in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. This is his introduction to the majority of these people. He is 30 years old, and he's coming on the scene, and these sayings are going to be very difficult and hard. But in your mind's eye, try to think of Jesus as he is saying these things, as he's saying to them what we'll read here beginning at verse 19. And let us stand together, if you would, please. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye is single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee is darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will love the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at these words, Lord, have your hand upon this service. Lord, we ask that you would bind the evil one and that the Spirit would move amongst us and that we would have joy in hearing what you have said. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Still in your mind's eye, think of it as Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. May I say this, there are controversial subjects in the Bible. Creation. Now, I'll be honest with you, when my dad began the Covenant Baptist Church back in 1956, there wasn't a whole lot of controversy. The majority of Americans would have easily said, God created the heaven and the earth. But there were those who already wanted another theory and another thought, and they propagated evolution. Now, you do realize at one time they taught that the world was sitting on what? A turtle. Do you remember that? I mean, you don't remember that, but remember that was taught? I mean, down through the years, there have been many thoughts. Some of you now may remember this, that they thought if you went east or west long enough, you'd fall off. Remember that? And even though the Bible talked about the circle of the earth, there were those who thought that the world was flat. But the fact of the matter is, creation is very controversial today. There are even some churches that go so far as to teach that God used evolution to bring us to where we are at. But the Bible tells us that death came because of sin, and Adam was the sinner. But evolution would tell you that hundreds and thousands and millions of things died before man was ever came on the scene. There is a controversy about salvation. There are those who believe if you live a good enough life, God has to let you into heaven. There are those who teach works, that if you do enough good things, you can get into heaven. There are those who teach that the Lord's death took care of part of your salvation, but you must do the rest. That you must take care of this. And in some cases, this is done in a place called purgatory, where this is taken care of. Controversy. But there is controversy about money. The Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. How much money should we save? How much do you need for retirement? I remember when I was dealing with a man about my financial future, he said, I'm going to make you a millionaire. I just thought, whoa. And then do you remember a few years ago when everything went south? He moved to Arizona. And I never heard from him again. He took with him, I guess, the rest of my $1 million. I don't know. You've heard this said, that you need to have at least 6 months' worth of reserves. That if you have a financial problem, that for 6 months you'll be able to pay your mortgages and your utilities and whatever, and you should have at least 6 months. So money is very controversial. Do we treasure the Word of God? Is this one of your treasures? Do you treasure the house of God? Do you know what a blessing it is to be able to meet with fellow believers? One of the things I like about vacation is that when we're out and about, we always try to go to church on a Sunday morning at a Bible preaching church. And we'll start making phone calls on Saturday to find us a church that we can attend so that we can be with fellow believers. And what a blessing that is. But do you treasure the Word of God? The house of God? Do you treasure the people of God? Well, at least Cindy does. Let me say that again. Do you treasure the people of God? We ought to. Your best friends should be Bible believers. They should be. Because they have an influence on you. But where your treasure is. A commentator writes, we are accustomed to dividing life into the spiritual and the material. But Jesus made no such division. In many of his parables, he made it clear that a right attitude toward wealth is a mark of true spirituality. A right attitude toward wealth. I have remarked in the past that if we are not right with God concerning our money, we will have a hard time being right with God spiritually. Being right with God. Keeping your place here, would you turn to the book of Luke chapter 12? Luke chapter 12, we'll read verses 13 through 15. Luke chapter 12. Beginning at verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, Who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Do you have a red edition in Bible? Who is saying that? Is Pastor Paul saying that? No, please. I'm just reading what Jesus said. He is telling us, be careful that covetousness does not become part of your life. I mean, here is one that left heaven's glory to walk upon planet Earth. And he understood what it was all about. Nowhere did Jesus magnify poverty or criticize the legitimate getting of wealth. After all, God made all things. Aren't you glad for the food he gave us? Now, let's be honest. There are some foods he didn't intend for us to eat. Okay? Now, let's just be honest about that. Tofu. I'll just name that one and I'll just move along. He provided the necessities so we can make clothes, and I'm glad we don't have to wear fig leaves. Okay? But he provided the things that would make our clothes. Did he make the precious metals? The gold, the silver? Did he not make the things that we call diamonds that are very precious in our society? Yes, he made all those things. And he didn't say, well, leave them alone. He only told Adam and Eve to leave one thing alone, didn't he? And they couldn't, well, they didn't obey that. God declared all things that he made to be good. I don't think he made tofu. Possession. Possessions. If you look up possessions in Webster's dictionary, it is the act of having or taking into control. Ownership. Something owned. Occupied or controlled. Dominated by something. Dominated by something. A quotable quote, it is not wrong to possess things, but it is wrong for things to possess us. Do you agree with that statement? It's not wrong to have things, but things shouldn't have us. There are many warnings in the Bible against covetousness. We'll go to four of them. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Mark chapter 7. But as you're turning to Mark chapter 7 in verse 20, the 10th commandment begins with these words, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. Psalm 119:36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 20. Mark 7:20, and he said, that being Jesus, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Isn't it interesting that thefts comes and then covetousness? I've told you the story how I began a life of crime in kindergarten. Yeah. You've heard me tell the story, haven't you? A boy had a horse and a cowboy, and I wanted that horse and the cowboy, and I took that horse and the cowboy. And I thought I did pretty good until I got home. Oh, mothers. You know what I did the next day? I took it back. They taught me that covetousness comes with a price. Yes. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, if you'd like to turn there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So we must be careful of covetousness. If the heart loves material things and puts earthly gain above heavenly investments, then the results can only be a tragic loss. Because life here is what, at best? Short. And eternity is long. Note, the treasures of earth may be used for God. The treasures of earth may be used for God. We must be careful that we do not lose our heart to material possessions. Question, what does it mean to lay up treasures in heaven? Three quick thoughts. Number one, we need to know that things on earth are temporary at best. Things can break or be broken, be stolen, wear out, be lost, lose our interest, go out of style, etc. Number two, things with heavenly value are far better than the riches of this world. Number three, the prophet Malachi wrote some 2,400 years ago, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Jesus warns against the wrong attitude concerning money. Paul to the church at Corinth, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Let me ask you a question. Is our God a giver? Amen. Gives life, doesn't he? All right. He gives salvation, doesn't he? Because he gave his son. So he does not ask us to give something when he has not already done so. And let me ask you this. In his giving, did he give a tenth? He gave it all, didn't he? Yes, he did. I have said this because I heard my dad say it. You cannot outgive God. You can't do it. Do you remember the story of Cain and Abel? How they both brought their sacrifices to the Lord? And how God blessed the offering of Abel but rejected the offering of Cain? Do you remember that? Why did he reject Cain's? Because Cain gave what he wanted and not what the Lord wanted. Don't try to satisfy God with what you want to do. Satisfy him with what he wants you to do. Back in the book of Matthew, if you would, we'll read verses 22 and 23 there in Matthew chapter 6. Material things not only enslave the heart, but they enslave the mind. And it says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee is darkness, how great is that darkness?" The eye represents the attitude of the mind. We have so much in our being that comes in through the eye gate. That's why we need to control the eye. But do you believe this, that most of us have a dominant eye? Do you have a dominant eye? My wife and I park in our garage according to our dominant eye. My left eye is my dominant eye, so I park on the left side because I can get closer to the wall without hitting it. And Donna parks on the right side so that we have a wider space between the two cars. Because we found if we parked the other way, the cars were really close to each other because of the dominant I first learned I had a dominant eye when I went to camp with Brother Wutke. We were going out and we were going to shoot 22 rifles. I had never shot a rifle in my life. Now, I don't know how old I was, Brother Wutke, at that time. But that was 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 30 years ago. I was in my 30s, okay. And I remember I took up that that 22 rifle, and being right-handed, I went like this, and I shot, and I shot, and I shot, and I'm thinking, this rifle is wrong. There's something wrong with this rifle. And so I tricked one of the other kids to trade rifles. And you know what? That one was wrong, too. And someone said, why don't you try shooting the other way? So I shot this way, and I hit the target every time. But you say, well, why? Because my left eye is my dominant eye, even though I'm right-handed. Well, the question is, who dominates our lives? Would you agree that there is something that dominates your life? There is. So we need to have a dominant eye that is focused on the Lord. If our aim in life is to get material gain, it will mean darkness within. Versus if we aim in life to serve and glorify God, it will mean heavenly gain. We are quickly running out of time. But finally, materialism can enslave the will. Verse 24 there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve two masters. So who is our master? We hear of those who are addicted to gambling, get addicted to many other things, and they struggle. Well, who is in control? If you would, quickly to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll begin reading at verse 9. Do you remember the story of the rich young ruler? And as we read it, we feel sorry for the man because he chooses his riches over a life serving the Lord. Do you remember how Jesus said it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven? Do you remember the Lord was saying that we must be careful when it comes to financial gain? And it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. O thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. And if you would, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world. So these are different from those who would be rich. These are those who are rich. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. In conclusion, do you remember the story of the prodigal son? We find that he found favor with the father once he realized that happiness came not in money or in what it could buy, but in being in a right relationship with the father. Is it important that we have a right relationship with God the Father? To have a right relationship, number one, is you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then number two, that we have the right attitude in life concerning financial wherewithal. Shall we stand together? 375, Just As I Am is our song of invitation. Maybe this morning you would like to come and pray, give you an opportunity to join our church or come forward for baptism. And we ask that the Lord would bless during this time. 375, Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now blessings on this invitation time. Direct, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.